Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And we're back.
Way to match the pitch there.
Crash landing.
Right onto the runway of 2019, baby.
Oh my God. I was like, it's been 2019.
Well, we promised them a second episode that never happened.
We got
life got in the way.
We got too caught up in our beautiful New Year's.
Honestly, it was the best New Year's I can remember in a lot, maybe ever.
I love New Year's. It's like New Year's and Halloween. I feel like I always find a way to like make them okay.
Yeah. Well, those are the two that I stress most about because those are the two that feel like you're supposed to find the like fun, cool, exciting thing to do.
It seems like a lot of people I talk to were like, yeah, I sort of just stayed in.
Mm-hmm. I think we're hitting that point of our lives.
Like, oh, nice.
Well, it was also pouring rain in New York that night. Pouring rain. Did not stop Brooke and I from burning cleansing items on the patio outside of her apartment, though.
It was really satisfying.
Very cleansed by fire.
Cleansed by fire and rain.
Uh-huh.
A story of fire.
A story of fire and rain.
A story of fire and rain. 2019.
How you been this year?
This year, I've been good. I've been... Getting ready to move across the country. Things are falling out of place. Things are falling back into place.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I am sad to report that unfortunately the red Beetle convertible of my dreams cost too much money to fix and send. And so it is going to get, is getting given to, but listen to this. The people that were giving me the car were like, sell it for as much as you can and use that money to get a car.
Aww.
I was like, these are angels. These are angel people.
Yeah, literally. And another angel friend has made it so that you still have a car.
Yeah, and then I was complaining about it at work, and then my beautiful, wonderful friend was like, oh, I'm from the OC. I don't use my car. Want her? And I was like, what? Cars keep falling in my lap.
Cars keep falling on my head.
So it is a blue, I think it's a blue Mazda.
Nice. Oh, I can see you in that too. Zippy.
I don't know what that even looks like.
I feel like I can picture it, but I know nothing about cars, so I think I'm just picturing a blue car.
I'm just picturing a blue car.
Well, you'll find out soon enough.
I'll find out soon enough. She's just called Mazda, so I might call her Magda.
Mm-hmm.
Like Magda.
Yeah.
You know, from the show.
From what show?
Sex and the City.
What's that?
It's a show about four women who are living in New York City in their 30s, and they have a lot of sex.
Wow, that sounds fun and well written.
Would you want to do a podcast about it?
I think about it. Okay. Let's make a game plan.
How was 2019 for you?
2019 so far has been good. I mean, time is a flat circle and not real, so I understand that nothing is different, but I still like love a metaphorical fresh start.
Love
you know?
metaphorical fresh start. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's been good. I've been trying to like hold on to that energy and I was this last weekend. I went. My friend has his family has this like really unbelievably beautiful 400-acre property in Vermont, and it's like one of my top three favorite places in the world. And when I got to go up this weekend, it was so it was like 36 hours, and it was we got there, and I like felt the tension leave my body. Mm-hmm. It's also just like the only place in the world where I can sit and like look at a fire for 20 minutes.
Mm, yeah.
It's very meditative without trying to be, you know.
It's like you're Connecticut.
Right. And there's a jacuzzi and a sauna and a movie room. We watched, there were people there earlier in the week and they started they watched 6 of the 8 Harry Potter movies, but we watched the last 3.
Nice.
We spent so much of our 36 hours both watching 6 and then 7, and then talking extensively about Harry Potter because...
I've never heard of the series.
So it's about a boy. But it was fun because our friend Eli was there, and he is like a fucking encyclopedia of all of the backstory and shit about J.K. Rowling and stuff that's like not in the book. So it was really fun to rehash a bunch of it, but also just like we just talked. And Noah, whose property it is.
His property it is. That's such a crazy way to... I know that's like just like what it is, but he has the property.
Well, it's... I can't just say house because it's just like it's so not that, you know?
Yeah, no.
But he is reading them for the first time. Mm. He's on the first one right now. And so he's really excited because he gets all of the backstory. And he was talking about how crazy it is that he's seen the movies, but reading the books, it influences the images he has in his head. But he's like, it's so powerful that I have brand new images in my own imagination.
I mean, they also though did like a really good job for most of the movies. Yes,
would agree.
Especially the first couple.
I definitely agree. After watching them, though, too, and rehashing a bunch of this stuff, I was like, the movies are so faithful to the books. I'm not pretending they're not. But they do tell kind of a slightly different story because, like, you miss the whole Neville thing. Mm-hmm. You miss the whole, Hermione and Spew is never in it. You know, it's all these, like, fun things.
You stan Ron and Hermione a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many things. Because I feel like the Neville part, And also, like, you lose all of the Tom Riddle backstory, which is so fascinating and fun. So I'm just so excited for Noah to read them. And it made me...
I'm reading them too.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to do it now too. If I can find a way to cheaply do audiobooks, I think. Or even the library might...
Cause I think they're on YouTube.
Oh.
I might have made that up, but...
Fascinating. Anyway, this isn't a podcast about Harry Potter.
No, it's not.
So sorry. But this is Splat.
The podcast... We didn't do it.
I know.
Do you want to do it?
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to
Splat,
the podcast where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about Sex in the City, 10 years younger
and 20 years later.
And here we are, 2019ers.
Yeah, we're approaching the actual 20 years, you know. It premiered in what,
99? No, it was 98. We've already had it.
Passed it. God damn it.
It happened in June.
I know nothing.
It's like John the day Snow. Before my birthday. I think it's like June 6th or 7th.
Another Gemini explains so much.
Sex in the City is also a Gemini. We spent a lot of time on New Year's Eve doing tarot.
It was like the witchiest.
It was amazing.
We stayed up until 6:30 probably.
Yeah, and we were like, let's stay up till the sunrise. And then I checked and it wasn't for another hour. And we were like, fucking no.
We're going to bed. Also, it was kind of nice to like leave to go to bed before the sun came up because it was just like we drew out the magic hours as long as we possibly could, mm-hmm. you know? And still kind of got a full night of sleep because we woke up at 1.
We woke up at 1. We called it. We predicted that 1 o'clock wake up time.
We knew. It was really beautiful.
It was really special. I love being witchy.
Me too. I got my birth chart read by Cassie.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear.
Friend of the pod who was on.
I want to hear more about that probably after this.
Yeah. No need for me to rehash my entire birth chart for the listening public.
Yeah. She sent me my eclipse. The eclipses are the way that they line up with things that happened in my past year are insane.
Whoa.
Like truly insane.
Like dates and like, wow. Those transits, baby. I'm going to go back and
it was like get more so red. Insane. Should we just hop on?
I think we should hop on in.
This should we is catch a fun, this train?
Wow. You guys, this is a joke because this episode
is called
The Catch.
Guys, get yourselves ready. Get your bodies ready. Grab a cup of tea.
Give a good roll to your neck.
Yes. Inhale your shoulders up towards your ears. Yep, let exhale, it out. Relax them down your
relax
spine.
Relax them down your spine.
Because there are a lot of horror puns in this episode.
So many puns in general. But this is, it's a fun one. I liked this one.
This episode is iconic. So it starts with Carrie crawling up a ladder.
My career had reached new heights, literally.
It's the trapeze episode, fam.
So she is trying out a trapeze that's by the water somewhere? Like, where is
this
it?
This is like one on the Chelsea Piers.
Oh, Chelsea Piers. I should have guessed.
And Stanford is wearing the craziest pants.
And smoking
love
a cigarette, which I've never seen him do before.
And she is wearing such a weird outfit.
It's not just the pants. Stanford's whole outfit is crazy.
Yeah, but so is Carrie. Like, so is Carrie's. What is she wearing under her tank top? She's like wearing...
For someone who is so like what
like a,
she is
a
about
silk shirt under
a sports,
sports
bra. Yeah. For someone who's so intense about her everyday fashion, her like workout casual clothes are always confusing to me.
So she's like,
she's literally wearing a silk shirt underneath a sports bra. She's harnessed in. She reaches her arm out.
The bar. And this like Australian cutie is a cutie.
He's walking her through it. She's clearly very nervous. Stanford is yelling support from the ground.
He goes, "You're queen of the world." And Kurt goes, "No, you're queen of the world." And it's a gay joke.
Oh, jokes. We love them. So she lets go.
Sarah Jessica Parker goes. Do you think it's Sarah Jessica Parker?
I do, because watching this, I was like, look at her feet. She's doing ballet feet in the air. Like, she 100% has done this before, I would guarantee.
And she like loves it.
Yeah. She's so nervous. And then like an hour later, she's still up there.
And she's going to try the catch, which is when there's another person and you like hook your legs up onto the trapeze, and then you let go and you grab the arms of someone else.
And then you flip down off of your bar and they're holding you. Stanford goes, "Maybe you should quit while you're live."
And it's horrifying.
Yes, indeed. So the other guy keeps reaching for her, and Carrie just like can't let go of the bar.
She can't let go.
She's also like, she's not just, there isn't just net. Like, she's fully strapped in. She's not, you know, she's not going anywhere, but she can't.
Speaking of getting caught, Samantha can't get her zipper off. This is honestly one of the worst things that could happen to a person. Samantha can't unzip her dress.
It's not just that she can't unzip it, because she gets it down, but then she gets it stuck around her waist. And of course, it's skin tight, so she can't do anything.
Kim Cattrall does a full Lotsy.
I was thinking that while I watched it. It's like a 30, maybe more, second scene of her just like
being a clown.
Yeah.
Not like
wrenching herself around.
And just like,
she falls on the bed, and an earring falls out, and her phone falls out. And so she
calls Smith and is like, "Do you want to do me?" But that's not what she wants.
She wants him to undo her. But kill two birds with one stone. I'm so sorry. Feed two birds with one hand. Thanks, PETA.
Two kittens, one hug.
Exactly. And in Central Park, I feel like I've seen this scene before. So in Central Park.
Well, it is also similar to, and I know this is not a podcast about Friends, but this is similar to when Monica and Chandler are taking photos for their, spoilers, Monica and Chandler get engaged.
See, that's not what I was thinking of, because I've never seen that scene. But
like, where Harry like can't smile.
And she's making it worse, because Charlotte's like, "No, hold your mouth like this and put the tip of your nose up and lift your chin." And he's like kind of in agony. And then she's
like, "I must be chosen for the New York Times Sunday announcements of our wedding.
So we have to have the perfect picture. They won't choose us." And then she kisses him, and the photographer takes a photo, and she's like, no kissing. It's tacky.
And he's like, "Perfect, the way you're smiling at me." And he's like, "I was having a genuine moment." And he's so good to her. He really is. "You know what's weird? Sitting in a rock in Central Park in a suit."
He's so patient. Speaking of tacky, so Debbie, girlfriend of Steve,
we
don't like Debbie. Debbie has bought from a flea market a really weird little clown shirt for Brady.
And then Steve's like, "She also got something for you, Miranda.
It's a candle, aromatherapy." And then he drops the bomb. She's Debbie like, wants to meet her.
It's like, no.
I just don't really understand why. Because the thing is, I guess we don't know anything about it. Right.
I feel like not until they're like serious.
It would be one thing if Debbie and Miranda were flipped, and if it was Miranda, the mom of the baby, wanting to meet the other person who would be ostensibly spending time with the baby. But that's not what's happening here. You're like, what's Debbie's motivation?
Well, Miranda.
Miranda knows.
Well, so cut to lunch.
Carrie looks really beautiful in this scene. She's like
chewing
glowing
on some artichoke.
It was an aromatherapy candle.
And Miranda's just like going off.
"For serenity and calm. I was much more serene and calm before the fucking candle."
"Women with candles have replaced women with cats. And is the new sad thing," says Samantha. Like, shut up.
Shut up. I love a candle.
And Miranda's like, Debbie wants to meet me. And he wants us to become friends. And Carrie's like, no.
Forget
that.
You do
not want to become friends with the new girlfriend. And Miranda's like, oh, is that a thing? And Carrie's like, has that happened to you? And Carrie's like, no, I'm just being supportive. Like, what am I supposed to say?
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, she's
wearing... Artichokes are the funniest thing to be eating
also,
for a scene, too.
I'm so glad I remembered... Oh, no.
Hello, noises.
I made the sound come on. Also, they're just like, on this table... You should know that there are apples.
Yeah, it's just sitting on the table.
Just
that's
like
a restaurant
green
thing.
Green apples.
Speaking of falling, I tried the trapeze yesterday. Basically, Miranda's just like, she is trying to insinuate herself in my life, and I want it. And so Carrie tells them about the trapeze. And Miranda says, did you fly through the air with the greatest fees?
And Carrie's like, I was afraid of being caught. And I...
The guy was cute. All I had to do was reach for him.
And Samantha, in the most underwritten Samantha way, is like, you got into a harness without any sex at all implied. What?
Crazy. So Mr. Goldenblatt...
Is being very helpful.
Shows up at brunch, brings a bunch of wedding planning stuff, and his friend, best man, his friend.
His best man, who's in from Portland. Okay, Bridget, authority on Portland. Do you think that this man is from Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine?
I'm going to say, because of what we learn about him, I would guess Portland, Oregon. Mm. But
well, you know that this podcast is sponsored by Portland, Oregon.
It is.
The city that haunts.
It finally came in itself. The city that haunts. Good Lord, is that true?
Because there are lots of ghosts there.
Yeah, so many.
Right? It's a spooky town.
It's a spooky town.
So spooky.
So spooky. That's the number one thing people say about Portland. It's not the rain. It's the spook.
That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, yeah. Spooktacular, if you will.
Oh, spooky ookie. Spooky Ortland. Sporkland.
Thanks for coming on that journey with us, everyone.
Anyway, what's his
name? So, Ernie something like that. Eric? He says, we're going to go around the corner and try to find our balls.
And for some reason, the women are like, that's the funniest joke I've ever heard in my life.
When women are men and men are in relationships, women own their balls.
I'm like, shut the fuck up.
And
Harry's like,
trying to be like,
it's Miranda and Samantha. And he's like pointing. He's like, and Carrie. And he's like.
And then he leans down to her and he says, a good guy happening. I see that for you.
And just so we know, this guy looks like a poor man's James Vanderbeek.
Mm-hmm. That's a good. Yep. There you go.
And Carrie's like, I'm busy. I have to, you know.
Because Harry's trying to be like, you and my boy Ernie here.
Yeah. I don't care what his name is. I've decided that it's Ernie.
Yeah. Carrie's like, I have this trapeze thing tomorrow.
And he's like, that's so weird. I have to tame lions. And for some reason, this isn't charming to me.
No, it's not. They all think it's very cute, but the guy just doesn't pull it off, I think.
Yeah. He's like, here are all my phone numbers. Please call me.
And my email and my everything. Call me anytime. I'll be waiting by the phone.
He has nice arms. I'll give him that.
Sure. And he is doing it in a bantery way. Like,
yeah,
he's being cute about it.
Yeah, but it's just like a little bit weird.
Uh-huh. And he's only in town for a week. So Carrie's like, what's the point? Why would I do that right now?
I don't know. Maybe she should take a
page. Brief out of Luke's book.
A page out of my book, because that's my MO.
Uh-huh.
Expiration dating. I love expiration dating.
Mm-hmm. It's not sex. It's a fling. It's fun. Oh, please. I'm too old for a fling. Not true, Carrie. Don't sell yourself short.
I can barely do a swing. And so she has to go home and write.
About the fact that she couldn't do a catch.
And Charlotte's like, that guy is a catch. And Samantha's like, you should do him. And it's like, ugh. When you're young, your whole life is about the pursuit of fun.
Then you grow up and learn to be cautious.
You could break a bone or a heart.
You look before you leap.
And sometimes you don't leap at all.
Because there's not always someone there to catch you.
And in life, there's no safety net.
When did it stop being fun and start being scary?
That's all. Mm-hmm. There she goes. She didn't officially wonder. But
no, she didn't. I was going to say.
She's so pensive.
So pensive. Brooke is like the queen of pausing this show with an incredible. Wow. hamming it up over there.
Thank you.
But really, we always have incredible screen pauses when we stop to talk. This is how I feel about that.
Oh, Bridget has made a heart out of her microphone wire. How cute.
I also am a child.
So I forgot what the question was.
The question was, when did it stop being fun and start being scary?
When did it start being fun?
Yeah, well, that was my question too. I'm like, I think she's romanticizing childhood.
I'm like, is it supposed to be fun right now? Like what we're doing?
No, she's saying as a kid, you're like, everything's fun and free and pursuits of that, and then you would jump without anyone to catch you, but now when there's no one to catch you, you get scared and don't jump.
Oh yeah.
Or when did the jump stop being fun?
I've always been a very anxious Brooke, so it was never fun for me.
Yeah,
but like, good for Carrie.
Yeah, no, and I do think again, like, she's getting at something. That's a good question. It's
just
reductive.
Well, I mean, I wonder how long it's been. Mm-hmm. But she's probably still, I don't know. She seems to be over Burger.
Yeah, honestly, Burger doesn't come up at once this episode.
I admire her resilience.
Me too. I also admire the writer's complete
dropping of the plot. Something must have happened with Ron Livingston. We need the tea.
Yeah. I want to know. I bet it's on the internet somewhere what happened.
We both were like, phone.
Because it's either Ron Livingston or they pulled audiences.
I think it's and decided they wanted to be with
Big. Yeah.
But Big hasn't even come back yet.
No, although she keeps, you know, having flirty phone calls. So who knows? There's still half a season left. Think how much has happened in this one already.
I know.
I decided it was time to leave fear behind, Carrie says, and have some fun.
So she's like, I'm going to have a fling.
And so she goes back on the trapeze.
Now she looks normal.
Wearing a normal outfit for something
and
like
so
this.
So the guy's trying. She does the legs up, which honestly, that's the scariest part to me is the right. flipping of your legs mm-hmm. up on the trapeze. And she can't. She says she can't. So she just has so much fear. She just keeps not
reaching for him.
I will say that I've appreciated this show recently because I feel like the metaphors through it have been like very applicable. Mm-hmm. And just like jumping at your fears has been something I've been thinking about
totally.
As my impending move.
Totally.
And my tattoo. So anyway,
incredible Mario Cantone
is
he's on fire this whole episode.
Yeah.
He is trying to do wedding things and he's trying to set up the New York Times thing.
And Charlotte is like, is my dress okay? How did she zip herself up in the dress?
I don't know. He says, also, okay,
why is it here? Why is she trying it on? Who?
Aubrey Hepburn?
Audrey Hepburn?
I said Aubrey twice. It's her little known cousin.
Aubrey Hepburn.
This is a podcast about how I literally don't know anything. It's been that way for 2 years and nothing's changing now.
She's in that movie, Breakfast at Veronica's.
I like how you, instead of just switching the name, you also butchered the name.
You Breakfast said, at Tiffany's.
I know, but you I said was trying Veronica. To decide.
Oh, Veronica. No, yes, I Veronica. Don't
we
you,
love Veronica.
Don't you
Veronica.
Know high-end jewelry store Veronica's?
Again, I know nothing.
Again, another great. Screen.
Well, she's trying it on because she's about to get married. This has happened in like 0 to 60. Like she and Harry got engaged, and we're like weddings next week.
We just don't know how long. We don't know. It could be 6 months. It's true. So they're talking about the horror.
He says, be careful. God forbid you fall off the chair.
Oh, the horror.
The horror. The horror.
And I'm like, that's great content.
And she's like, maybe we won't do the chair thing. And he's like, no, you have to. Just remember when you're up there, pretend you're having a good time. Hang on for dear life. And for fuck's sake, keep your legs together.
Nobody wants to see the bride's beaver. And she's like, how dare you talk about vaginas? Not she in front
hits
of
him
my,
with both hands.
My dress. I'm surprised that she's wearing a white dress and not a cream dress.
Hello, York residents.
And so it's the New York Times calling with some fact checkers.
Yes, Golden Blatt has two T's. Sure, fax it over. And then he bites his fist. And
can
it's
you imagine
so cute.
This being something that you like are dying?
Care about this desperately? No, but I can imagine Charlotte caring about it this desperately.
Yeah.
They have this really cute, they're dancing around and having a sweet moment. And Harry comes home and Charlotte
freaks
out. Loses her mind.
It's so funny. She's like... And she's like screaming in Mario Cantone's ear. And she's just like
he's
going
like,
off.
Jesus, char my ears. And so he backs into another room with her behind him. And she's like, oh, no, this is so bad. And you can hear her screaming from another room.
And Harry's like, are all brides like that? And Mario Cantone's like, ha, this is fun.
That's
his
nothing.
Butt looks amazing.
It does. I once had a girl on Long Island give herself a stroke. She pulled it together for the big day, though.
Walks off.
Bye-bye.
So cut to Samantha having more trouble with accessories.
Trying to put a bracelet on, which granted bracelets are, can be a real
horrible.
Tricky one.
She looks amazing.
Horrible.
Horrible.
She does look amazing. She's wearing this like sheer white pantsuit.
I'm obsessed with it.
It's so pretty.
Jared Smith is so sweet.
And he talks about Gus Van Sant. Gus Van Sant has come up many times.
Well,
because
that's the movie that he's going to do. No, his abs.
His abs are really beautiful.
And
he's really beautiful.
And he's very so sweet.
He's like, I can't believe we don't get to spend my last night together. And she's like, are you dying?
And he's like, no.
And she says, well, then it's not your last night. She's great at an emotional shut off. It's
and
impressive.
I'm surprised that he stuck it out.
He really loves her, I think, already. He's like so into her. He says he's going to miss her.
And she's like, bah.
And he says it's a long time. And she's like, will you get out of here? And bah. He's watching her with these kind of like soft, sweet eyes. And she's like, I'm already late as it is.
She's like, don't do anything on location I wouldn't do. And he's like, what is that? And she says, karaoke.
I don't do that.
It's very sweet.
Oh, he's so into her.
This is an amazing scene. The scene is unreal. Cut to Brady And Miranda, Cynthia Nixon,
is singing
delightfully
the trapeze song to him and putting earrings in.
And she hears Steve and Debbie being like, oh, it's a nice building.
And someone calls Miranda and he goes, I can't find my keys. And she goes, Magda, I'm not home.
Magda, I'm not home. I already went to Charlotte's. I am not home. And so Miranda runs and hides into her room.
And she's like in the dark, just like listening as Magda opens the door, fully hiding from them. And so Steve and Debbie come in and they're doing this whole like, oh, the apartment's so cute and boop-a-doop-boo. And Magda's like, Miranda's not here. She does the very dutifully. She says a couple of times, Miranda's not here. Miranda's not here. And he's like, okay, that's fine. I just left some stuff in the bedroom.
And Miranda, who's in the bedroom, is like, uh-oh, Scooby.
Last time I forgot Mr. Elephant and Brady acted like a big baby, didn't you, B-boy?
And Debbie's like, ha, well, he is a big baby. Silly baby. And we zoom in, super zoom onto
the elephant. And Magda says, I haven't cleaned yet. And Steve's like, that's okay. Like, obviously.
So Miranda.
We don't know where she's gone. It's like the scene in the original. Do you remember the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man scene when they come into his bedroom looking for him and he's disappeared suddenly and they look out the window and they can't find him. And as the bad guy is leaving, a drop of blood falls from the ceiling and he's like, he's been hiding up on the ceiling. That's Miranda's, what Miranda's doing right now.
Except for under the bed.
Yes, exactly. And she's not bleeding.
And she's not bleeding. And so Debbie calls him Bradylicious. And then my favorite line of all of Sex and the City goes, do you want to go to Blockbuster and rent a tape or something? And let's just everybody take a moment.
R.I.P.
Pour one out for Blockbuster.
My, like, the Twitter account that I think makes me saddest is the last Blockbuster account. There's a Blockbuster in Alaska. And it's the last one. And it's like weird post-consumerism, capitalism dystopia. It's just like their tweets are amazing. Anyway. Miranda crawls out from under the bed and Magda's watching her like, what the fuck are you doing? And then she goes to Charlotte's.
She's like, there's a lot of dust under there, Magda. Maybe you should deal with that, please.
And then Carrie is like, why is your back covered in dust?
And she's like, I hid under the bed and Debbie came into my room.
Carrie's like, did you see her? Just her shoes and her nails.
And
Carrie's like, maybe you should just get it over with and meet her. And this is the most potent thing. Miranda says, if I meet her, she's real.
And Steve has an actual girlfriend. Mm. And Carrie goes, apparently I wasn't the only one who had trouble letting go. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, tear falls down my thigh. What?
What? What?
I couldn't tell if I wanted to say face or eye. So I said thigh.
That's what I thought you said. And then I thought you said thigh, which was weirder.
I also said thigh, I think.
Yeah. So it's all there.
Tears run down my thighs. I'll take it.
Oh, God. Carrie looks really beautiful.
So
she's wearing this
beautiful,
like, gorgeous
hair
flow. Yeah, me too. Soft updo, gorgeous flowy shirt. She just looks lovely.
And they're like, go have a fling, Carrie.
It's like a chill reception dinner. And so they sent her off to go talk to Ernie.
It's the rehearsal dinner, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, how are you? He is very cute.
You know who he looks like? I'll tell you. It doesn't matter.
He looks like someone and I want to know who, but tell me after.
He looks like Jimmy, who we went to college with, who did voice, who dated. You'd recognize him.
Okay.
Anyway. What did he say? Something about trapeze?
Yeah. Just circus jokes.
Well, he's saying he's a clown. And then he does the car and he does the shoes
and the pie kissing.
And
Carrie like looks him up and down and voiceovers like,
maybe
opens up her blouse and then she gets railed.
When you think of like jackhammer bad sex.
Oh, my vagina hurts just
looking
at it.
Howie. His name is Howie.
Attorney.
Yeah. It doesn't look good at all.
And Carrie was like, and I felt like I was in high school.
Honestly, like she should have a concussion. He's like slamming her head against the edge of that thing behind her bed.
Because he didn't know about anything. And
she says we had sex like teenagers, meaning he didn't know what he was doing. And then Samantha is doing her own banging of a bracelet against a counter because she can't get it off.
And she has a voicemail from Smith about...
He's like, I'm here. It's pretty cool. Miss me yet?
And she's like, and the voiceover, that's the thing about getting used to a man.
There's always a catch.
No one's there to unhook your bracelet. Oh, in slow-mo.
Gorgeous drop. Charlotte hears the drop of the paper outside of their enormous apartment from rooms away and goes, it's here.
This is very funny.
So she flips it open and she's like, oh my God, I have a mustache.
And Harry's like, it's an ink stain. And he looks amazed. He's really like, look at me.
He's like, that is a terrific smile. Like, you coached me into it. And he's like, look, it's probably just our paper and who cares?
She's like, I look like Hitler.
This is a nightmare.
I'm getting Jewish married.
Yes. I heard it coming and that's what I would have said too.
I'm getting Jewish married and I look like Hitler. And Carrie, who like...
She calls Carrie.
And Carrie's like had a heating pad on her neck.
She's like, do you have...
The New York Times. Look at these flip-flops that have a baby heel.
They're the worst. They're like prime 2003. Ugh. They're rhinestone flip-flops.
Harry's
with
like, you don't look like Hitler. The Frito Bandito maybe, but not Hitler.
And Carrie looks and she's like, oh, yeah, there's a little something.
She's like, maybe it's just my paper. And your paper.
Good friend. I have to go. Charlotte's face is just, she's like, it's off to the worst possible start. Here's the problem when you put all your happiness and stake into these kinds of things. It's like Charlotte gives these things the power to ruin her life.
This is interesting. Carrie's hair, like the back of it changes throughout the episode. Did you notice that too? Like, so it's in like Dutch braids.
Like a cutie, like.
It's very cute. But by the end, it's like there's like a bun back there.
Yeah, it's just like pinned in the back. Like I'm guessing part of it fell out or they just, I don't know.
Or like they filmed it too.
Or they only took a continuity shot from the front. And so whoever did it the next day did the back differently.
Yeah.
She is talking about how the guy was a jackrabbit and he says, are straight men allowed to, Stanford is helping her walk because she literally can't straighten up.
Yeah.
And he's like, are straight men allowed to do that anymore? And she's like, no, they're not. It's masturbating, but with a woman instead of your hand.
And so
they see Howie.
She's like, I better say it. And Stanford's like, hop to it, buddy.
She literally cannot stand up straight. And he's like, you look hot.
And she says, I got a special room at this special hotel.
For us, for later. And she's like, that's so sweet of you, but I don't think I want to do that. He says, we can have breakfast before I leave, unless, of course, we're busy doing something else, huh?
It's like, was that sex good for him?
I think so.
Oy.
Clearly, he thinks so.
She's like, I'm tired.
And he's like, well, I'm only going to be in town for another day, and I want to get to know you better. Which is also like, dude, what's your game plan here? You're not trying to date her long term because you're leaving, but you're like so hurt that she is. So she says, we'll see. And he's like, I know what we'll see means. It means see ya. He's also like holding her hand awkwardly to his chest at this point. And she's like, you're just
visiting, so I figured it was just sex. And he's like, so
you
horribly
used
offended.
Me.
This is classic. We haven't seen a Sex in the City guy like this since like season 2.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. She's like, I figured it was a one night kind of thing. Reasonable assumption.
Yeah.
Just fun.
And he's like, wow.
He's like,
my white man ego is bruised.
If I had known you were just using me, I wouldn't have made love to you like that, which is also hilarious. If he thinks that's making love, what does he think fucking is? I just would like a definition from him. That's
from
all.
Behind.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Yeah, obviously. Same thing, different hole.
Right. Much more special.
Same shit, different day.
Don't bring shit into the equation.
You're right. So Miranda looks fucking stunning.
They all look gorgeous in the dresses they've chosen. The ceremony is really beautiful. Also, the temple is gorgeous.
Yeah, fucking temples rock.
Yeah.
Jews.
And the service, it's just like super beautiful. And
love this rabbi.
I love the rabbi too. And the girls all look lovely in there.
Carrie smiles at Charlotte and then pans to Ernie, I'm committing. And he goes, fuck. You. And Carrie's like,
like, which is an exact sound effect for what her face does. But like, me too. Like, come on, dude. Also, it's one thing to feel this way and to make Carrie feel this bad about what's happening. It's a whole other thing to do it in the middle of your best friend's wedding.
Yeah, like, bad form.
Yeah.
And so they take from the kiddish cup.
And Harry accidentally spills. Harry accidentally spills a wee bit down the front of Charlotte's dress, which of course she's worried about. He slides the ring on.
As one man slipped a ring on, one woman was still trying to slip a bracelet off. It's like,
why not just ask Carrie to do it next to her?
And then the fucking pearls explode off of her hands. It's so dramatic.
And instead of standing up on the ceremony with her, they're like standing kind of in front of where all the people are sitting. So it explodes onto the dais, like where they're getting married.
And Charlotte... And like Carrie's like, oh, my back spasmed. And Charlotte looks beautiful.
She really does.
And then she gives her the flowers and Carrie cut to the bouquet. Harry's trying to step on the bottle and he's just like can't
he's trying to break
it.
The glass so and it keeps rolling away from him.
There are pearls everywhere.
And he
all the gays, Stanford and Mario.
Everyone's like, oh no, oh no, worried about it. Jewish law to Murphy's law. And he finally stomps on it,
and
the glass
like,
breaks.
Yeah, yahoo!
And as Samantha claps excitedly, more stuff falls off the bracelet on her wrist.
And they start to walk, and then of course Charlotte slips on pearls,
and she almost falls. It's a very gracefully done,
so gracefully,
good choreo there. And Harry saves her, and everyone cheers again. Miranda's face is like so worried, and then she's like, oh, big
nice
claps.
Save, nice save. And so Charlotte is crying in the bathroom.
She is. And she...
See, now she has like a bun back there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
no.
Not. Maybe not.
It does look different, though. It's gotten repinned for sure.
Yeah.
And Carrie goes in and she... Charlotte's basically like, Harry walked in on me and my wedding dress and that's what caused all of this.
Now
we're cursed. And Carrie says, you're not cursed. You're married. And this is, I think, one of the best friendship moments Carrie has where she's like... so loving and understanding, but she's also, it's the verbal equivalent of like gently taking Charlotte by the shoulders and shaking her because yeah. Charlotte needs that. And she's I don't like, blame her for being upset.
She's like, you're not cursed. You're married. Hey, you, Charlotte, you just got married.
And Charlotte says, like, I know I wanted every, she's already crying a lot. She's like, I wanted everything to be perfect.
And Carrie's like, stop crying.
You have to stop with the tears. She says, you already had the perfect marriage.
Perfect wedding.
And the marriage?
Not so perfect. She's like, I think this is a good sign. Worse the wedding, better the marriage.
And Charlotte says, I have a stain on my dress.
Carrie's like, yes.
That's good.
Great.
That's a good sign. And Charlotte says, you're just trying to make me feel better, which is true. And then Carrie says, no, I'm trying to get you to open your eyes because you are missing it.
And Carrie says this beautiful thing that she's like, you're missing your wedding. You have a wonderful man who loves you, who will be there to catch you when you fall. You don't know how badly I want someone to catch me when I fall.
Do you know how special that is that you have that?
I love that for her.
I know. It's sweet. And it's also true. Like, Charlotte, you're missing the whole forest for the trees. Like, you're so caught up in these little things that don't mean anything to anyone except you and letting them ruin things for you.
Yeah.
And sweet old lady comes in, sweet old ladies come in, and Carrie like talks her into leaving again. And something happens as I leave the bathroom. I don't really, something with the dress, but it's fine. I also love the updo they put Miranda in.
Yeah. They all look amazing.
Samantha is in the middle of the other two at the head table, and she's like, I'm just feeling, it was so beautiful. I'm just feeling a little sad. And Carrie's like, the wedding. And Samantha says, no, the bracelet. And then Carrie just nods in agreement. So now we get to speech time, and this dickwad of a Ernie Howie.
It's a
Herney. We're going to call him Herney because he's a hernia. Is like to Harry and Charlotte because they found each other despite all the bullshit. And you're like, oh God. And then the bullshit turns into about how people use you for sex and leave you. And it's really inappropriate and uncomfortable. And he doesn't explicitly like say Carrie's name, but he's like pointedly looking at her and like shoving his nose in her direction. And he says that like people are a bitch. Stanford goes, is this a toast or a roast?
And he's just like so inappropriate. And it's just like, babe, wait, what has he done that made you think he's from Portland, Oregon?
It was more the like clown joking around, because I think when I watched it the first time, I thought he actually was a clown.
Oh.
I mean, he's a clown. Don't get me wrong. But no, I'm going to stick with Portland because there's a special brand of entitled white boy from the Pacific Northwest. And I think he fits it, honestly. So,
but know. I mean, the East, upper East.
It's true, but it's a different brand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Basically, if my best man or maid of honor or whatever did that at my wedding, that would be grounds for me being like, I think we need to take a break from our friendship.
I would have been like,
It's horrifying. It's horrifying.
I get a lot of agita thinking about who would speak at my wedding.
Oh my God, you would need like you're like, line up, folks. The barriers are over there.
Well, I mean, it's going to depend on who I marry.
True.
Because it's going to be people that have like a relationship to both of us.
I mean, whatever. I think it's only about you. You and only you. Miranda gives a really beautiful speech about
the beginning of one.
Of the beginning of one. About her really, her brave friend Charlotte, who goes for love and is able to say how she feels, mm-hmm. when, which is hard for a lot of people.
Including her.
Including her. Her
speech and catches, speech on, catches fire. On fire. And Charlotte and Harry are like, our wedding is so bad.
Mario Cantone throws drink on her and he's like, sorry. And Charlotte says to Harry, she's like, Carrie said, you know, the worst weddings make the best funeral.
And he's like, I think the worst weddings make the best funerals.
That's true. That would be a bad wedding. The worst weddings make the best marriages. And he's like, well, I think my best man got us to silver.
And then Miranda gets them to gold.
Yeah.
And now they're doing the Hora. And Charlotte's like, or Samantha's like, get in here, the Hora. It's like so silly. And
Carrie's like, oop, can't, my back hurts.
This is literally like
so sad.
A moment that happened in Israel where we were doing
that dress doesn't fit Carrie. No. It does not fit her.
We
boobs.
Were doing, there's a video, we were doing Israeli dancing,
oh,
like
fun
old folk dancing, sure. And we're all in a circle, but Lily like broke her toe and so she couldn't dance, and so she's filming us, and I'm like going around. And I catch the camera and I think we're done. So I like start and then the whole line just like pushes me along. It's so funny. I just like get pushed by God. The person. I It's so funny.
What a beautiful video.
And I'm just captured. Like being such a fucking derp.
I love.
And this.
So Hernia is dancing and like having a great time. And
he kicks his face, his legs, honey. Up.
And Stanford said he's certainly acrobatic.
And she goes, yeah. He's a regular Druk de Soleil.
That's a really good line, honestly.
And he's like riding that cowboy.
And she goes, do you think everyone knows I slept with
him? I'm without a pub, a beat. Stammer's like, yes.
Yes. They all think you're a big whore. A grunder great reference.
You guys, I have to go take a nap.
Oh my God, I got to work this morning and we had a 9 a.m. meeting first thing, but it wasn't really a meeting. It was like someone was talking to our whole department. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't even like use my brain, you know, where like, and it was for the first time since like college classes, I was literally sitting there like blinking my eyes, like pressing my tongue into the top of my mouth, trying not to yawn. Cause I would have, if I had closed my eyes for about 4 seconds, I would have been asleep at the table in front of my entire global department. I avoided it though.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What was I about to say?
Something about not my work.
I love your work.
Thank you.
Love your work. Love your work.
Loved your work at the law firm.
Big fan of your work at the law firm.
I have all of your work on tape.
Wait.
Something about being a big whore. Something about Stanford.
Oh, I was just going to say what happens next, which is Harry gets thrown something, a piece of cloth, and he like reaches out and
oh, yeah, they're doing the literal horror.
And Charlotte's afraid, and Carrie's like, go, honey. And
grab she the reaches fabric. For it. And she does. And so, you know, Charlotte has caught the fabric.
The catch. And so now they're about to catch
another
the
catch
BK.
That isn't going to work. Charlotte goes up to the.
I love Miranda's dress.
Miranda says, I've lit myself on fire in public. I think I'm done. And I've talked in public. I think I'm done.
She's like, you're fabulous. And Miranda's like, I'm flammable. And then the bouquet hits her on the head.
Charlotte throws the bouquet. And just as Miranda's turning to leave, it hits her in the head. And her face is just, she just kind of, it's just like.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie goes, okay, now you're done.
And then
Carrie
goes
ready to
back,
catch. And
she tries. She reaches her hands out and it doesn't work. But then she just lets go and falls on the net. And she's like, I survived. Also, this music is the most. Hang on. Will you pause this really fast just so we can play it for our edification, even if we take it out? Will you back up like 15 seconds? Because suddenly we literally are in like 10 things I hate about you.
I know. Oh, no. Yeah. It's like the Lizzie McGuire movie.
It is.
It's if I just
because
breathe.
I yeah. But I survived because I have a good safety net. And as it pans up from her in the net, like rolling around, proud of herself, her friends are all there, like screaming for her and clapping, and they all look so cute. And she's like curled up, so happy with herself. And look, she didn't need to be caught. It was the doing of.
Well, the net caught her, but, you know, details.
Right.
So Alex Wiseman and I were watching this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, it was on syndication. And she goes to catch. And then for some reason, it cut to the end of a different episode. Like, it was like the Charlotte scene. And then, like, in the bathroom. And then all of a sudden, it was like a season 3 episode. And Alex and I were like, wait a minute.
What is happening?
What's happening?
And they wake up and they're back in 2001. And nothing has changed.
Carrie's head. A cat.
The editor on the fire escape, everyone.
Meow, edit.
She's a home meowner.
She needs to scratch that out.
Hey.
There's a Mew article.
You're getting there. I like it. It's the perfect thing to write about. Perfect. Oh, cat puns.
I couldn't help but whisker.
That's good. That's really good. Oh, boy. Good thing Carrie has 9 lives. So she can fall off that trapeze. Peep. That one was not good. And I should have let the bit go.
I'm going to set you on fire.
Okay.
I'm going to purge you next.
Okay.
Just so I can keep your ashes in my pocket. In a locket.
Will you turn my ashes into a diamond and wear it around your neck?
Turn them into a diamond?
Do that with ashes. Cremains. Am I a wizard? Did you finish that statement, or did I just hear the rest of it?
I think I said
it. Okay, good.
Turn your ashes into diamonds? What do you think I am? Harry freaking Potter?
Who's he?
He is a boy wizard.
Oh, God. I'm sure this is so funny to everyone else, too, but it's sending me off, everyone. Plapability, Veronica.
You love to switch plopability and whom we resonated with, and I'm just going to go with it. It's 2019. I'm going to roll in with the homies.
Rolling with the horror.
Whoring with the homies. Yeah, I mean,
there's that too, which is even better.
Having a gila, baby.
Okay, nope. Who'd you resonate with, Brooke? I refuse.
I just had a spasm.
You did. You were like, I just accepted it, and now you're changing it back on me.
I resonated with Miranda and Carrie in a shocking turn of events. Period. End of sentence. I would hide under a bed. I will have feelings.
Would you hide under a bed? Would you hide with something red?
Would you hide dye your with hair the dust? Red? Would you hide with the dust? With the girlfriend, you must.
There you go. When the girlfriend shows up, then you must.
You must hide. Hide.
Ugh.
And Carrie, because I also have had a back spasm.
Yeah.
No, just the idea that Carrie's like, it's like, she didn't make it about herself, and it's not that she's jealous of Charlotte, but like that, like, don't you see that, like, there are people that want what you have?
Mm-hmm. Or just, don't you see how wonderful what you have is?
Yeah. What about you?
Similarly. Yeah, definitely. I resonate. I also, same thing with Carrie, but also the moment earlier where, not that I'm, like, too old to have a fling, more just, like, sometimes that's not what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, like, it can be fun and flings can be great, but.
Also, like, every fling I've had has turned into something else.
Right.
Well, not everyone, but I'm.
Right. But yeah, emotions are there and they're tricky. Also, Miranda, very much so. And I very much relate to the, like, if I do this, it's real. I had earlier, it made me think of earlier this year, I had some texts on my phone that I both really wanted and didn't want to read that I let sit for one of them. I let sit for like 13 days until I read it with my therapist. And she was like, I cannot believe your restraint, which a couple of other people have said to me. And I was like, restraint is there, but. Also, I have not had a text like this on my phone in so long that I didn't want to open it and it to go away. You know, like, I didn't want it to be real. It's just like a.
No, I feel like we had this. I had this moment too when we were like in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, I just I feel that. And yeah, Carrie, Miranda very much. I just, my heart aches for her. I was thinking the whole, when Steve first came in, I was like, when is this going to resolve? I want them to be happy with each other.
I don't know what I'm going to do when my, like, significant ex starts dating someone.
Same. Especially, that's going to be.
Especially if he starts dating someone before me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the other people I've, like, dated, I'm sort of like, yeah, you're always dating someone. Mm-hmm. or like whatever, but I have to win this.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I feel very similarly. And I literally said to my therapist last week, like, when the last person I dated starts dating someone, it's going to be a whole new different grieving process.
Yeah.
Unless it's in like 5 years, and hopefully I really don't care at that point. Yeah. But like, yeah, no, I fully resonate with that. I also, like, as much as I was chiding her for it, like, I can be like Charlotte in that, like, I can let little things that should not really, really throw me off balance and become like the thing when there are other lovely things happening I should be focusing on. But that's part of what I'm working on this
year. I'm nervous about the part of me of that could develop into a Samantha where I'm so afraid of allowing someone to care about me that I do this.
By defense default. Yeah. Also, actually, I haven't been that person really, because if I want to be with someone and feel that way, I won't deny myself. But watching Samantha deflect, I like feel it, and I feel for her. I don't know that it's a me resonating so much, but it's just, it makes me sad for her.
Yeah.
Plopability.
I mean, like, I think we're at a point now where it's like, you add technology
and it basically
fits.
But
this is like a pretty ploppable.
I think so too, actually.
I think
there aren't many of the parts of this that wouldn't translate, I don't think. And in fact, even the writing for the most part in this one, and like the plot and the way it works, and it's not, there aren't so many goofy throwaways.
I give it a 3 out of 5 Darren stars.
Well, that's low. I would have given it a 4.
All right. 4 out of 5 Darren stars.
That was well done.
Why haven't we thought of that before?
I mean, it was sitting right there waiting for us. Well, now we will. We will write things via Darren stars. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. What about, that's it? That's
your Delta ups and downs?
My Delta up is this New Year's was really beautiful, and I think we had like a really good time, and I'm just like, I'm having a good amount of significant time with people that I love.
Good.
And I got my nails done today from Paintbox, because my sister got me a gift card, and
we texted about it.
They look very nice.
They really do.
And I
gaped at them earlier in awe.
And my Delta down is I'm just like an anxious piece of poop.
With really good reason right now, but yeah, I get that.
And there's just like things that I'm really grateful for my friends because like I feel like they're allowing me to feel without judgment about so many aspects of this. And I'm like, I feel like I sound like a broken record. And I was talking to Lily yesterday. I was like, if I had to hear me talk about all these things over and over and over and over again, I would be annoyed with me. And so thank you. And I was like, you and Bridget are my people for that.
Always.
So thank you.
I mean, it is truly a two-way street.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-lane highway.
One of my highlights of New Year's was, and I tweeted about this, was Bridget and I were going to sleep, and we were just like reflecting on the year.
Oh yeah, at 6:30 after Kyle and his boyfriend left.
And Bridget was like, I mean, it just feels like we were two dice that got thrown in a cup and just like
someone was rattled just rattling
around from February to December. And I was like, yeah. And I was like thinking about like all the things that have happened in my life, and we were like, huh. And then I was like, Bridget, That's the whole year.
And we were both like, smiles faded from our faces. And it was like, oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Like we had a whole year just like ping-ponging. Like
someone literally was just like shaking a cocktail, and it was just Brooke and I were the ice.
So hopefully.
But that means 2019 is the cocktail, right?
2019 is the cocktail. I love that.
Me too. And we're sticking with that.
What is yours?
Did you do a down? Yeah, you did a down. My down is, what is my down? My down is I'm just exhausted. I really fucked up my sleeping schedule over my like few days off and over winter break, because everything was just kind of loosey goosey. And so I've been at this like go to bed at 3 or 4. For a while I was sleeping till like 2 or 3, which I also makes me feel like garbage after 2 days of that. Especially when then you get an hour and a half of daylight or whatever. But, it's really fucked my sleeping schedule up, so I'm trying to put it back. But as it is, especially because I was in Vermont this weekend, I have not gotten more than 5 hours of sleep in about 10 days. So.
Oh my God. Well, I'm excited for you to sleep in my bed on Saturday night.
Me too. It's going to be so good.
Also, my Delta up, sorry.
And that's okay.
Is that I'm filming. I wrote a film thing with our friend of the pod, Jesse, and we're filming it on Thursday.
In my room.
In Bridget's room. I'm really excited that my character is from Portland, Oregon, apparently.
Oh, because of the mountain.
Because of your room. Yeah, so I'm just great. Like, well, fucking shit, huh?
Ari and I were texting about it today, and I was like, do you need me to like clean or anything? And he's like, no, honestly, I want it to be messy. And I was like, great, I'm going to throw all my clothes around for the next few days.
It's funny because I'm just going to put some pictures of like me on your thing.
Yeah. I have to show you. Okay, wait, let me just finish. My Delta up.
Thank you, sorry.
Is, thank you, next. My Delta up is two things. One, Vermont this weekend was amazing. Also, New Year's. I second that hardcore. But the other one was I went to my like second actual jujitsu class last night. Oh, and like, this is the week where I start going twice a week, maybe more. And it's like really journey. The thing I do for the next forever. And it makes me feel sweaty and tired and powerful and strong. And I'm pumped about it. And I'm really excited to follow through on it because it will feel really good in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
That's all.
That makes me really, I'm really excited for this. Thank for you.
Where can I find you on social media?
Well, I'm back on Twitter.
She is back.
You guys can find me on Twitter
and you at should.
@Brooke_Wiseman. You can find me on Instagram at @BrookeWiseman _. And you can find me on Snapchat.
Find us on Snapchat.
You can find me on Snapchat at BrookieMonster9. Because you guys, let me tell you, 2019 is the year of Snapchat.
I literally just got up and like Tom Cruise jumped on the couch about Snapchat as if she was my Katie Holmes. Yes, bitch. I loped Brooke back into using Snapchat for various reasons. And within 24 hours of her being like, okay, yeah, both your brothers, meaning brother and boyfriend, and Kyle were all like, are you using Snapchat?
And I was like, I don't understand. It is the social media of the time.
Everyone uses Snapchat. And they were like, we haven't used Snapchat in years. And we were like, guys, everyone uses Snapchat. Granted, I know that like for teenagers, like legitimately, it's how they like text. But
listen.
Anyway. Anyway,
Bridget, can I find you on social media?
You can. I've deleted all social media except for Snapchat. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Mrs. Burt Macklin. You can find me on Instagram at BridgetM37. And most importantly, you can also find me on Snapchat at BridgetM37. So.
Oh my God, find us on Snapchat.
Please find us on Snapchat. I promise you, it's not worth it.
Okay, I look amazing kidding. With blue
you
hair.
You really do. No, I texted you that. The filter. Didn't I reply?
No.
Oh, I thought I replied to you and said, okay, but this hair is amazing.
Oh no, Jesse did, but not you. And then I did a one with the red and I said, did you love my work in A Star is Born?
Incredible.
Anyway.
Oh, failed to send.
Oh.
I'm going to send it right now.
Oh, I just had a Snapchat notification.
And by not worth it, I mean it's worth it. That's all. I was joking. Find us on Snapchat. I'm serious. We're bringing it back. And find us
collectively. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, not on Snapchat,
but
yet mm-hmm. at Splat Podcast,
Snapchat, and at gmail.com.
And on, yeah. And can you please go onto iTunes and rate, review, subscribe, but only 5 Darren stars.
Only 5 Darren stars.
Just send us a nice little review. Be like, hey, this is my Snapchat.
Make everyone really confused when they go into
you guys look. We'll have one, maybe two episodes before we leave.
This will come out on Friday and then we have a return guest star.
But I figured maybe we can record one out of order to have.
Sure.
We'll talk about that's this a after. Good idea. And then we are gonna figure out how to make this happen.
Yes, we will. Across. There's gonna be some technology,
sweet technology.
Dalton is helping us, our lovely ACAST contact. So we're gonna figure it out, never
because
fear.
We love you. We our love valued you. Valued and loyal,
trusted,
listeners.
Engaged, sweet listeners. And thank you. Happy New Year. We love you. We promise you things all the time that we halfway follow through on. We will fucking finish this show. So.
And we will go back on Snapchat.
I mean, already done.
All right, team.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.